Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with three Stay Green 1-cubic foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
From the 40, couple of tight ends, receiver right, and Adrian. Handoff, Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle, across the 30, to the 20, inside the 10, touchdown!
First down at 10, Johnson gets a shot, it's there! Watch out! He's got getting away from the clock speed! Touchdown!
Welcome to Grinding the Edge, episode number 61 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. I haven't talked about them for a bit, so I want you to go check out our friends over at Signed Shit. At Signed Shit, you can go and sign up for all sorts of amazing box breaks in order to get yourself that awesome signed sports memorabilia. If you're somebody who's like me and you've just moved into a new space, maybe you need some things to help fill it out. And so that's where our partners over at Signed Shit can help you out. If you've looked at what Mike and Eric have gotten over the past year plus of getting stuff on there, they have all sorts of amazing memorabilia from all kinds of players that you and I know, or even from other sports. They have players from baseball and the NBA and wrestling and all the things that you might be into. So go over to Signed Shit, that's signed sh.it, in order to check it out. So this week I wanted to go back to my kickoff returns analysis from last year. Now, last year, if you remember, it was our first year using the new kickoff rules, where instead of a kickoff going all the way back to the 20-yard line, it comes out even further. Last year, it came out to the 30-yard line. And what I talked about then was the fact that it did not come out as far as the XFL. And how, as a result, we probably wouldn't see the 60% return rate that we would see in the XFL. And instead, we'd see something lower. My hope was that it was somewhere around the 40 or 50% mark. And unfortunately, it had ended up being right around 33%. However, what I had determined is that if it was at that 40 or 50% mark, then these kick returners were going to be extremely valuable, especially in best ball leagues, or if you just consistently had these guys and you were able to put them into your flex spots. Well, this year, they've upped that to the 35. And by upping it to the 35, I think we're going to see an increase in returns. And here's my case for it. So last year, the spot for a kickoff return, it came out to the 30. The average return from last year started your team at the 29.7-yard line. The median was the 28-yard line. So, if you think about having to go through all the effort of doing a kickoff, you're running the risk of them being able to return it even further, return it all the way down the field. You weren't really giving up anything by just booting it through the end zone and causing a touchback. It was just basically not terribly worth it. And that's why we only saw a third of teams actually kicking the ball where it could even be returned. Well, this coming year, with it being at the 35, now that completely changes. So that median being at the 28-yard line, that's now a 7-yard difference rather than a 2-yard difference. In the total number of starting spots off of returns last year, only 17.3% of it even made it to the 35. That means that 82.7% of the time, you're going to get an advantage by forcing a return. And that was just with the teams that, you know, decided to do it last year. And some teams tried it out, realized, hey, this wasn't really worth it, and then stopped. Well, this coming year, everyone probably should have that in their repertoire. Every kickoff kicker should have the ability in order to do this. And so, what I'm projecting for this coming season is that we end up with a situation where teams say, hey, we're going to get anywhere from 5 to 7 yards by doing this on average, and that is worth it. When you're talking about field position, 5 to 7 yards, that's almost half the way to a first down in terms of, hey, how many first downs do you need in order to get into field goal range? Like, that can help a lot if you're able to force a punt off the opposing team. So, based on all this analysis, I think it is just as important to understand who all the kick returners are across the NFL if you have kick return points in your league. And I know I have quite a few, so I went through and did all this analysis myself. Keep in mind, I looked at the depth charts of the teams and based on who I think the returners are going to be. I did look at our lads, which is one of the places where they will tell you, hey, this is who we think the kick returners are. And I'll point out where there are some places where I differ from what they list. But what I saw last year as well, like during the season, is our lads really did not have those kick returners updated very well. So I think that if you have some league mates using our lads to try and identify this, they might be having some false information. So with that, let's get into all the teams and who their kick returners are going to be. So the first team is Arizona. They have DJ Dallas and Greg Dortch. I fully expect that they're going to repeat that from last year. DJ Dallas got a lot more at the beginning of the year and then kind of split towards the end of the year. I think it kind of depends on how they're feeling for those kick returners and also potentially how the opposing teams kick to them. It might have been that DJ Dallas, they were trying to kick away from him, and that's how Greg Dortch ended up with more kick returns. So we'll have to see exactly how that split ends up being. But both of them are probably guys that you can be interested in for kick return points. In Atlanta, we have Ray McLeod. Last year, they also had Avery Williams there, but he's now gone. He's over in Philadelphia. So Ray McLeod is the one kick returner who we can fully expect he will be there, and he will be getting you plenty of points from doing that. Included in the fact that he's a good wide receiver 3, and he's probably a sneaky person in some high-scoring kick return leagues. Like, if you've got a kick return, a point for every 10 yards, or even a point for every 5 yards, Ray McLeod's probably a good target to go and get. In Baltimore, we've got Keaton Mitchell and Rasheen Ali. Keaton Mitchell, he ended up coming back, and he did a lot of the kick returns towards the end of the year. If you look on our lads, they actually are not telling you that Keaton Mitchell is even somebody on the list at all. So you might even be able to sneak this by somebody who doesn't really understand the value that Keaton Mitchell might be having for this team. Instead, our lads list LaJonte Wester for no reason other than I think he's just a fast rookie and they think, oh, he might have a shot. But Keaton Mitchell, he handled it last year, and I fully expect that he's somebody that they're probably looking at for this coming year too. In Buffalo, this is going to be the first tough one to talk through. So they signed Laviska Shenault, who he did a good job in 2023. He was doing good at the beginning of 2024. And so the biggest thing is really just he needs to make the team as a wide receiver in order to like actually make the 53-man roster. But if he does, I fully expect that he'll probably be the primary kick returner. Last year, they ended up with the huge committee. They had Ray Davis, they had Ty Johnson, they had Brandon Codrington. So all three of those guys, they could potentially be the second returner. If Laviska Shenault does not make the team, I would expect it to be a committee of those three guys. And potentially switching around based on, like, you know, who's getting more offensive snaps or defensive snaps or whatever. So Buffalo's a hard one to guess right now, but Laviska Shenault probably can come pretty cheap to anybody who's not paying attention to the value he might hold. Carolina, you have Raheem Blackshear is their kick returner from the past year, and he did a really good job. He was one of the top kick returners in the league last year, so he probably has that job locked down for being the primary guy. But also Jimmy Horn Jr., he did kick returns at Colorado, and he's somebody who probably could come in, and there's the potential that Raheem Blackshear can get boxed out of that backfield. So if you think about the running back situation there in Carolina, if you have Chuba Hubbard and then you also have Rico Dowdle, and then you also are going to have Trevor Etienne there this year as well, like, Carolina would have to keep four running backs on their active roster in order for Raheem Blackshear to be back there kick returning. So this is one of those places to watch. Maybe Raheem Blackshear has trouble making that active roster on game days, and so it becomes Jimmy Horn Jr. And then Trevor Etienne, he also kick returned a little bit in college. Not as much as Jimmy Horn did or Raheem Blackshear, but he did do some during his time in college, so he might be able to do it at the NFL level, and they might give him that opportunity to be the second guy. For Chicago, they signed Devin Duvernay. Devin Duvernay is 100% a special teams specialist, so he is somebody that you can basically almost guarantee that he's there to be the primary kick returner. They had Tyler Scott doing some of those kick returns towards the end of last year, and he's still on the team. And DeAndre Carter was who their kick returner was most of the year, and he's now gone. So that's why I'm saying Devin Duvernay for sure slotting in as that kick returner for them. For Cincinnati, they haven't signed anyone new. So my guess is that it's probably going to be Charlie Jones. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because Cincinnati, they ended up giving a lot to Chase Brown last year. I don't think that they'd want to give as many to James Brown as they did, and instead kind of give it to some more of the backup guys. So giving it to Charlie Jones, Jermaine Burton ended up with a bunch towards the end of the year as well. So expect that they're going to probably continue that trend and stick with a Charlie Jones, Jermaine Burton kind of combo, assuming Jermaine Burton isn't going to, you know, do those sort of off-field things that torpedo his chances of making the roster. For Cleveland, they're the ones that ended up with DeAndre Carter, who I mentioned he's coming over from Chicago. But Jerome Ford is the incumbent there. So this potentially opens up the avenue for Jerome Ford to miss the active roster on game days. Now, I don't necessarily think that is going to be the case, because it would seem like even with getting Quinshon Judkins and Dylan Sampson, that Jerome Ford would probably be the third guy or potentially even be the second guy on that team. But it's just one of those things of, hey, it opens the door for Jerome Ford to either not have as much of a role and miss the roster entirely and not be as much of a detriment, or maybe he's able to do a little bit more in the return game. DeAndre Carter was also, he kind of bounced around towards the end of the season last year. Maybe he's not as good as we think, but because Jerome Ford's the third running back, he can take on a lot more of the kick returns than he did even last year. So one of those situations to watch. My personal gut goes towards DeAndre Carter, though, just because he has so many years of experience. It's one of those things of, like, who are you going to bet on? The guy that's done it a ton year after year, or the guy who, you know, took over for it last year? I'm going to bet the guy that did year over year. In Dallas, Kevontae Turpin is the incumbent, and he's a very good kick returner. In terms of who the second guy back there for them, Jaden Blue took some reps at OTAs. This was the only team that I really saw where they actually listed, hey, somebody's taking kick return reps for one of these incoming rookies. And Jaden Blue.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Was the guy that did it. So potentially you could see Jaden Blue back there as the second guy. You know, it just gives you that little bit of extra thing. Like maybe if you were debating whether to get him, because like who knows what that running back that backfield's going to be there. Maybe Jaden Blue gets a little bit of a bonus for the kick returns. In Denver, it's Marvin Mims Jr. He's immensely good for Denver. Funnily enough, basically the entire Denver team, the team's just stopped kicking it to them over the latter half of the season. So from weeks 1 through 9, they ended up with, 12 total kick returns. So 12 returns in the first 9 weeks. And then from weeks 10 through 17, they literally had one kick return. And in the playoffs, they also got one kick return, and it wasn't returned by Marvin Mims either. So it's just one of those things where it's like, huh, nobody was willing to kick it to the Broncos. That might change this coming year, but it might also be a strategy that you see with some teams of like, hey, we just are not going to kick it to a guy. We'll take the 35-yard penalty, and it'll just be what it is. With Detroit, they ended the playoffs with Craig Reynolds returning. They also had some Khalif Raymond kind of sprinkled in there, some Tom Kennedy, Sione Vaki towards the end of the season. So, like, it's one of those things where it's completely up in the air. They did not sign anybody. That is a very obvious, hey, for sure, this person is going to be a kick returner for this team. So this is one of those things to watch. Craig Reynolds has done it pretty consistently for them, though. Just, like, I'll call it, like, on and off consistently. He seems to be the guy that, like, they just turn to do the kick returns when they, after they've tried out everyone else and determined, oh, hey, they can't really do it either. So it's one of those things where they don't value that position as much. Jumping to Green Bay, this is a team that does value that position a whole lot. Keyshawn Nixon is their guy. He's a Pro Bowl kick returner. He's absolutely the guy that you'd want, but you need to have an IDP league for him. They also signed Mecole Hardman, and Mecole Hardman also has a lot of kick return experience. I could totally see that Keyshawn Nixon and Mecole Hardman are the two back there for the Packers. So just another little sneaky name out there. Check out that Mecole Hardman and see if that's somebody that you might want to go and try and get. Especially if Keyshawn Nixon were to end up with an injury, I think Hardman would definitely be the one that you want. In Houston, they signed Braxton Berrios. Realistically, in my mind, if you're signing Braxton Berrios, it's because you want him to kick return. They've had Damian Pierce kick returning for them the past couple of years, and then they've done kind of a committee for the second kick return spot. So if I had to take a guess, it's probably Braxton Berrios and then Damian Pierce back there. I'd like to think Braxton Berrios is the primary, but maybe not. Maybe they just wanted to solidify that second kick return spot. I'm not exactly sure. Also, keep in mind, Braxton Berrios still needs to make the team, and with the wide receiver room that Houston has, it's like, I guess Braxton Berrios could make it consistently week to week, but they very well might not too. So we kind of have to see with that one. Indianapolis, I would go with, it's probably Anthony Gould again. He was their primary kick returner last year. I didn't see that they did a whole lot different. They did sign Khalil Herbert, who took some kick returns for Cincinnati last year, but I don't think he's actually like a serious contender for this. And otherwise, they didn't really change anything. So I think it's probably Anthony Gould. For Jacksonville, they were an absolute mess last year. So they had Parker Washington doing kick returns. They had Tank Bigsby doing kick returns. They had Travis Etienne doing kick returns. Like, they had all kinds of people doing kick returns last year. So who do I think does it this year? Well, probably Parker Washington. That'd be my guess. And then probably one of the running backs, to be honest. If they liked Etienne and Bigsby doing it last year, they also got Tootin, and Tootin did a bunch of kick returns in college too. So all three of their running backs, like, I could see them tossing whichever one they feel like back there. I don't know whether it's going to be the primary guy, whether it's going to be the number three guy or the number two guy. This running back room's kind of, you know, speaking to me like that it's going to be a little bit of that Tampa Bay situation from last year, where at Tampa Bay, you've got those three running backs. You have the Bucky Irving, you have the Rashad White, you have the Sean Tucker, and it's like, okay, which one's going to be the one that comes out on top? And you just don't know, and you're hoping that you guess right, but they're also going to cover the kick returns. I think that's what we're going to see in Jacksonville, especially you kind of see like, okay, well, where did Jacksonville's head coach come from? Tampa Bay. He kind of saw that play out there anyway, even if he wasn't the special teams coordinator there. Kansas City, they ended the year with Nico Remigio, which straight up, when I was looking through the data for this podcast and I saw that name come by, I straight up was like, who the heck is that guy? I thought he was going to be like a cornerback or something like that. No, he's a wide receiver is what he's listed as. Before he took over towards the end of the year and for the playoff run, it was a platoon of the people that are no longer on the team. And then Carson Steele took like two of them. So Nico Remigio is definitely the incumbent. The fact that he ended the team on the roster makes me think that, okay, maybe he's got a decent shot at being it this year. But frankly, I had no idea who he was. And usually I know who these deep wide receivers on a team are. And so he needs to at least be a good enough wide receiver to make the 53-man roster. If not, they might just be going to somebody else random, and I have no idea who that would be. For the Rams, last year it was a platoon of Whittington and Corum. Because they have both of them on the roster, and I'm pretty sure their spots are safe, I'd say those are the two guys that you want for this coming year. For the Chargers, Darius Davis is the guy that you want. He is their kick returner, punt returner. They like him because he's really good. And so 100%, that's the guy that you want. There's nobody else to really speak home about, like, oh, this is who would be the second guy. They're probably going to platoon it, or it might just end up being Hassan Haskins again. For the Las Vegas Raiders, this is one of those situations where our lads knows absolutely nothing. And then I also know absolutely nothing. Our lads lists two rookies, Tommy Mellott and Deontay Thornton Jr. And there's one thing in common with both of those guys, and it's that neither of them kick returned in college. So awesome. Good job, our lads, choosing two amazing players for that role. I've literally seen nothing about who was practicing kick returns. Dylan Lobb, he's the one veteran in the room who actually has some kick return experience. He was the second half of the platoon last year with Amir Abdullah. Amir Abdullah is currently not signed to any team, so potentially they could sign Abdullah back if they need to. But I guess Dylan Lobb is the guy that you want if you're trying to take a stab at somebody and you've got the extra roster spot. But frankly, I have no idea what could happen with this Raiders kick return room. In Miami, we ended the year with Malik Washington, and Malik Washington is where I think it is going to be this coming year. Not having signed anyone else and not really making any moves that look like, hey, we're trying to get somebody with kick return experience, I think they're happy with how Malik Washington did. They also have Taj Washington, you know, over there in the background as well, who might be the number two guy, but I'm pretty sure Malik Washington is that primary. Minnesota, they signed Isaiah Rogers this past offseason, who handled kick returns for the Philadelphia Eagles this past year. And then they also have Ty Chandler, who's handled kick returns for them kind of on and off for the past quite a few years. And his job is pretty safe as the number three running back. So between the two of them, I think you probably want to take stabs at both. I feel like if you sign Isaiah Rogers, it's probably to get him for that kick return role, and they have never shown a full commitment to Ty Chandler to being the kick return guy, so I feel pretty confident in saying Isaiah Rogers is going to be the primary. In New England, probably Antonio Gibson again, basically because everyone else is off the team. The Javon Baker could potentially be the guy according to our lads, but I frankly think they're going to try out tons of other people for the other kick return role, but that Antonio Gibson is probably going to be back there to be kind of the veteran kick return presence. With New Orleans, it's more than likely Rashid Shaheed. He was going to be the kick returner last year. He was it for the first couple weeks of the season, and then he had that knee injury that knocked him out of the rest of the season. So with Rashid Shaheed, hopefully he comes back. He reprises that role as the kick returner. I'd like to think that they do that, but there is always the potential of, hey, maybe they don't want him to, they don't want to be risking him getting hurt on a kick return, and so they're going to hold him back a little bit because he probably is one of the more brighter spots of their offense with what they have on that team right now, and they really need to hold on to everything that they've got. For the New York Giants, Eric Gray and Amir Smith-Marset, they're the two guys that are on the team that have some experience, so it's probably going to be the platoon of two of them. The New York Jets have Xavier Gibson. Xavier Gibson, he's been handling it for them now for a couple of years. He's a really good kick returner and punt returner, so I expect nothing to change. For Philadelphia, they signed Avery Williams from the Atlanta Falcons. I expect him to be taking over from the fact that I mentioned that they ended up losing their kick returners from last year, who were Isaiah Rogers and Kenny Gainwell. So they obviously need to have two new people. And so Avery Williams, definitely a good signing to fill one of those holes. And then Will Shipley saw some opportunity last year. They seemed to like him. Like, he is definitely the direct backup for Saquon Barkley. I think they want to try to get the ball into his hands more, and potentially giving him some of that kick return opportunity is the way to do it. So for Pittsburgh, they signed Kenneth Gainwell. A lot of people have been talking about, hey, he might be like a direct backup for Jaylen Warren, but also he can kick return for them, and they just had basically a platoon of people last year. So they didn't really have anyone they liked, despite having Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, hanging around on that roster. So if Cordarrelle Patterson ends up not making the roster, look for Kenneth Gainwell to be handling most of those returns. The Jaylen Warren, he did handle a little bit of returns last year. I would think with him being the number one running back, who knows exactly where that falls between him and Caleb Johnson. But I'd like to think that this means that Jaylen Warren is not going to be kick returning anymore, but we don't really know. Maybe he does have a little bit of opportunity. Seattle, they had Kenny McIntosh handling some of them last year, and they also signed Steven Sims. Steven Sims, the problem that I have with him is he has managed to, for quite a few years now, just not be able to hang with any team. He basically just constantly gets signed and then waived and then signed to a practice squad, elevated for 3 weeks, waived, signs to somebody else's practice squad, elevated for a couple of weeks. Like, that's just kind of how he's done his kick returns the past couple of years. So I don't really think he's going to hang around there in Seattle. So probably Kenny McIntosh is the more consistent guy that you want. In San Francisco, I was very surprised to realize just how much they used Deebo Samuel for kick returns last year. I didn't think it was as much as it was. He actually handled quite a few kick returns, which for him being like essentially their top wide receiver, that's like not something that the other teams in the NFL do. So Isaac Grendo, he was the other guy out there for them. And he was there for weeks when CMC was out. So I think they probably like him as a kick return option. He's more of that next guy up. They did give a little bit to Patrick Taylor at the beginning of the season. That's who our lads has as the top guy. But I'm pretty confident in saying that Garendo is more than likely the top guy there. In Tampa Bay, they like their running backs. They used Sean Tucker, Bucky Irving, and Rashad White all as returners last year. I think that you might see something like that, and it might be related to inverse. I have no idea, depending on how that situation is in that backfield. So if you have a kick return points in a league, maybe it's a little better to, you know, you got that ambiguous backfield going on there. Like, maybe you can stomach having some of these guys rostered a little bit more than you normally would. In Tennessee, Kamir Adike, I have no idea whether I'm saying his name right, and I apologize if I'm saying it wrong. He returned in college. But Tyjae Spears, he's done a lot of returns for Tennessee as well. And they also have Julius Chestnut. So you're kind of looking for, okay, who is going to take it over the most? If I had to take a guess, it's probably DK and Spears. And my gut would lean more towards, hey, Spears handles more of them. And then DK is kind of the second guy. And maybe if Spears ends up having to handle more of a running back workload, maybe they kind of phase him out of the kick returns a little bit. And then the last team, the Washington Commanders, they gave it to Luke McCaffrey a lot at the end of the season. And especially with how that wide receiver room is, where he's getting a lot of run during this offseason section. Like, I could see Luke McCaffrey, you know, making the team. And so it makes me think that, hey, he might be the guy that you want. Austin Eckler also handled a lot of kick returns over the course of the season as well. It was mostly the two of them back there. And Austin Eckler, we definitely know he's making the team. So those are the two guys that you want. But Luke McCaffrey, towards the end of the year, he was handling more of them. So he's kind of the sneakier guy to be like, hey, he's going to have a better percentage. So that's all the teams in the NFL. Please feel free to ask me if you have any questions on these kick returners. And just keep in mind, it all has to do with relative points. So all of these things, I'm listing a lot of these people so that way if you're in a lineup league, the way I would personally do it is I would roster a lot of these guys for bench spots. And then if you know there's a situation where they might have some bonus opportunity, that's when you end up subbing them in. So an example of this would be those Tampa Bay running backs. If you know that one of those three goes down that following week, you might just want to take a stab at, you know, because they're probably going to split carries between the two other guys that are there. If you get some kick returns in as well, like, you just get a couple extra points. Same thing with, like, Isaac Grando. If CMC gets hurt, Isaac Grando, he probably will not lose a kick return job because they showed that they're willing to toss Deebo Samuel out there all the time. So they'll toss Isaac Grando back there. And yeah, when Isaac Grando was the top running back, he was back there kick returning too. So, like, you can just get those bonus points on top. But some of the ones that are a little bit harder to do, unless you have crazy yardage for kick returns, are going to be your ones like your Luke McCaffreys or your Malik Washingtons or Darius Davis or guys like that. It's going to be a little harder to justify starting those guys in a lineup league. But if you've got a best ball league where, hey, it's 10 points or 10 yards per point, I mean, all you need is the guy to get three kick returns in a game. They return each one for 25 yards on average. Like, then you get 7.5 points. And if one of them breaks for a long one, there are quite a few of them last year that went for touchdowns, or even ones that don't get all the way there. Like, you're probably getting a guy that can make at least a flex spot in your lineup. So definitely go through, if you've got a league like that, just add all these guys to your watch list, see who's on waivers, pick some of those guys up. But that's everything that I have for you this week. As always, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm at Dynasty Koopa on X and at Koopa Troopa 8, literally everywhere else. I've had some people be inviting me to sleeper leagues over the past couple weeks, ever since I put out my call for auction leagues, and I definitely appreciate those of you who have done that. So please feel free to reach out, whether it's questions, whether it's new leagues, or whatever. And as always, make sure to stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.